بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن الله يغضب لغضب فاطمة ويرضى لرضاها. صلوات When our eighth Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Rida alayhi salatu wa salam was forcibly taken from his hometown of Medina to the capital of the huge empire of Mamun al-Rashid. The capital was the city of Marv, located nowadays in Turkmenistan. Used to be part of the greater Khorasan and Iran in those days. And in his entourage, there were several people, and one of them was a Sunni. And this Sunni brother, when he, on his In the middle of the trip, he left the entourage and he wanted to go back to his town. And while leaving, he asked Imam al-Rida alayhi salam for some advice. And this was the advice that Imam Rida alayhi salam gave to a Sunni brother, that Tuwali Awliya Allah wa tu'adi a'da Allah wa takunu ma'a as-sadiqin kama amaraka Allah. So we learn from this beautiful summary of the religion of Islam. This hadith of Imam Rida alayhi salam summarizes in a nutshell the entire religion Islam. Islam is this. Imam Rida alayhi salam said to him, love the awliya of Allah. Love the beloved personalities and the close personalities of Allah. Al-walaya in Arabic, if you go down to the root of the word, in Arabic every word has a root. And if you go down to the root of the word, al-waw, wal-lam, wal-ya, al-walyu. That's the original word, which means al-qurb. And in Arabic we say, kul mimma yalika. Eat from what, kul mimma yakrubuka. Eat from what is closer to you. It's part of the adab and etiquettes of eating. So walaya means qurb, and all the darajat for walaya in Islam is actually rooted in the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these personalities are the closest. They get all those darajat and levels because of their taqarrub and closeness to Allah. So Imam Rida alayhi salam said to him that tuwali awliya Allah, love the close servants of Allah, the beloved servants of Allah, and tu'adi a'da Allah. That means those people who are the enemies of Allah, you hold them as your enemies. There are some people who try to befriend the enemies of Allah. There are some people who try to hold a soft corner, sympathy, even in the heart towards the enemies of Allah. There are some people who try to treat the enemies of Allah with a smile. These are policies that do exist in the society, right? Generally speaking. So Amir Mumin alayhi salam has said, adnal inkar an talqa ahl al ma'asi bi wujuhin mukfahirra. Sadaqa Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. Certainly he said the truth. The least level of nahi anil munkar, forbidding the wrong, forbidding the evil, is that you meet with those who belong to ma'siyat and sinning pattern against Allah. The least level of nahi anil munkar is that you meet with those people with faces that show your disagreement, and with faces that shows that you are, you know, you denounce what they're doing. I cannot meet a good doer and a bad doer with a similar smile on my face. That's unfair. I'm not adil if I do that. Then let's shut down the whole concept of ma'ruf and munkar in Islam, because for me, everybody is okay. Everybody's not okay. Everybody's not okay. That ends up into this, you know, the pluralism concept. Inside Islam, brothers and sisters, there's no concept of pluralism inside Islam. For, you know, in our Muslim community, we must understand everybody's not okay. The one who is on haq is okay, and the one who is not on haq is not okay. There has to be a distinct, you know, need to make a distinction between Ahlul Haq and Ahlul Batil. So Imam Rida alayhi salam said to him, Tu'adi, the second segment of his glorious hadith is that, although every hadith is glorious, that you hold the enemies of Allah as your enemy. Tu'adi a'da Allah. Wa takunu ma'as sadiqeen kama amaraka Allah. And be along with the sadiqeen. Sadiqeen, which Quran says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen, which refers to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam. They are the sadiqeen. That means be with the sadiqeen, how Allah commanded you. This is the summary of religion Islam. Al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdu fillah. We love whomsoever we love for the sake of Allah, and we hate whomsoever we consider to be taken as an enemy and disliked person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not the criteria of haq and batil. You know, righteousness and falsehood. If somebody is good to me, then he's good because he's good to me. If somebody is doing bad to me, then he's bad because he did bad to me. No, that's not the criteria in Islam. I'm not the mizan of haq and batil. Mizan is what the Prophet has said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, anta mizanul a'mal. You are the scale of the actions. So a person is categorized to be quote-unquote good if he is good towards the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam and its implications today.
And a person is categorized to be bad if he's bad towards the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam and its implications today. That's the criteria in Islam. Not me. Not you.
Let's be clear. That's what our religion is. So hub and bughd is a very elaborate concept, and I don't want to go to all those details. But when the hadith of the Prophet, which I recited in the beginning, narrated by Siha Sitta, the six authentic books of the Sunni brothers, and likewise from our sources, it's a hadith which is accepted by all. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَغْضِبُ لِغَضَبِ فَاطِمَا وَيَرْضَ لِرِضَاهَا.
Allah certainly becomes angry upon the anger of Fatima and becomes pleased with the pleasure of Fatima. So a person is that high in her level that throughout her life she considered the beloved, the likeness of Allah to be a criteria. Please say salawat.
So, throughout her life, she considers the likeness of Allah to be the criteria. So she liked whatever and whomsoever Allah likes. And she disliked, Assalamu alaikum. Please say salawat. For these honorable scholars, please, for their long life and their salamati, please recite another loud salawat. So Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam, throughout her life, had her likeness and dislikeness adjusted with the likeness and dislikeness of Allah. So everything that Allah likes, she liked. And everything that Allah disliked, she disliked.
She practiced this policy so much, perfectly, that now on the Day of Judgment, Allah likes what she likes, and Allah is angry upon whomsoever she is angry upon. This is the justice of Allah. If you remember in my first speech, I told you the hadith which says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُنزِلُ الْعَبْدَ حَيْثُ أَنزَلَهُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. Allah treats the servant the way the servant treats himself, right? So the level of importance you hold for Allah is the same level of importance Allah is going to hold for you. That's justice. That's the way it should be.
How many people in their workplaces, they tell to their bosses, see, and the time of Dhuhr comes, I need to pray in the awwal al-waqt, because see, I'm a Muslim, I need to do that. I know people in America who work for Jewish bosses. It's a level matter of importance, right? They let you pray. They give you respect. If you hold respect for your values, that's how you earn respect for yourself. If you don't hold respect for your own values, your own identity, and forget about others learning to respect you. Why should they, when you yourself are not holding respect for your own value system? So there are people who work for Jewish bosses and they have said, yeah, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Shia Muslim, whatever, and I need to pray my Dhuhr prayers at the workplace. And they allow you. And there are some people who say, you know, a person said to me in California, Maulana, if you call me at the workplace, don't call me Muhammad. Call me Mo. I said, not me. You're talking to the wrong person. You're talking to the wrong person. If I would call you in the workplace, I will call you Muhammad, or I would never call you. The choice is yours. You let me know what you want. If I want to call you, I will say nothing but Muhammad. That's your name, right?
You can't defend Islam for the namesake. What else can be expected from you? Ask a Jewish guy, Mr. Benjamin Rosenberg, what if I call you Bakir?
And look at his response. This is what some people call the identity crisis. I don't call it the identity crisis. I call it actually the walayat crisis. Because some people, some of the youth in the Western world, failed to value the walaya of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. If my daughter goes to the university and she tries to assimilate in the society and hide her identity, my son tries to hide his identity because there's a vacuum left by the parents, right? The vacuum gets filled up by others.
This is why we always emphasize to our youth to learn your religion. Religion is never inherited, brothers and sisters. Religion is not a commodity to be inherited. Religion has to be proven with logical evidences. Al-Allama Al-Hilli, one of our great scholars, has compiled a book which is called Kitabul Al-Fan, Book of 2000, where one of our great scholars has compiled 2,000, and that's why he named his book the Book of 2,000, because he had compiled 2,000 evidences about the imamat and walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. So are we short of evidences? No. We have abundance of ignorances. We are not short of evidences. So this is a walayat crisis actually. It's not just an identity crisis. You know, if they try to simulate. Coming back to the point I was saying, is that we need to hold importance for our own value system ourselves first, and that's how others will learn to respect us. And our value system asks us to adjust our likeness and dislikeness with the likeness and dislikeness of Allah.
That's our value system. In the West, they say, you know, if you feel like doing it, just do it. We don't do what we feel like doing. We do what our Creator feels like doing. That's the difference between a believer and an infidel. A believer is the one who doesn't make his own decisions on his own.
Our decisions are already made by Allah. We come to the Masjid in Husayniyah to learn the pre-existing commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His values and principles from Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and to learn those principles and apply and adjust our behaviors. You're not the one who are making the decisions. So when Prophet says about Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam, pay attention to the content of the hadith. Certainly, in Allah la yaghdibu li ghadabi Fatima, how high a person can reach that the ghadab and rida, the anger and pleasure of Allah, is so much taken care of by Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam that Allah now is pleased with whatever she's pleased with. And Allah is angry upon whomsoever she's angry upon. So on the Day of Judgment, it makes sense when Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam would be resurrected. The hadith teaches us that it will be announced from Allah's side, نَكِّسُوا غُدُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ وَنَكِّسُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ حَتَّى تَجُوزَ فَاطِمَا عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامُ. Lower your gaze and lower your heads, نَكِّسُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ, so that Fatima can cross.
When she crosses over the bridge of Sirat, then after that, that's where the people are now sent to the paradise, or some go to the hell, right? So at that spot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say to her, Salini ma shi'ti. Blank check behavior of Allah.
Ask whatever you wish.
Do you find this kind of behavior for anybody? Why is that so?
Because her hub and bughd, her love and hate, was adjusted with the love and hate of Allah. So we don't love nobody except whom Allah loves. And we don't hate nobody except whom Allah hates.
This is how she has done. So now she deserves the high status that we have been talking about since in the previous speeches. Now, whenever this personality shows up to in front of the Prophet, this narration is narrated by, Hadrat Aisha. She says that kullama dakhalat, whenever Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam used to show up to meet the Prophet, qama ilayha. Prophet didn't say, my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli hafizahullah in his tafsir, was saying that Prophet didn't say qama laha. He stood up, you know, for her.
Qama ilayha.
There's a difference between qama laha and qama ilayha. Look at the level of respect.
Wa rahaba biha, and used to welcome her. Wa qabbala yadaha, in some narrations qabbalaha. Wa ajlasaha fi majlisihi.
Prophet used to kiss her hand and make her sit on his own place. That speaks volumes.
Rasulullah is making his daughter to sit in his own place. He's sitting somewhere else.
This is the level of respect Prophet holds for her. Now, this kind of personality, when Rasulullah passes away, she is in extreme huzn. Because of the departure of Rasulullah, because of the zulm done towards Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam's walaya, because of the zulm done towards Ahlul Bayt, towards Islam and Quran.
And so now comes the story of Mus'haf of Fatima.
Now comes the story of Al-Muhaddatha. لِفَاطِمَةَ تَتِسْعَةُ أَسْمَاءٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says Fatima has 9 names before Allah. One of those 9 names is Al-Muhaddatha, which means she was the angel of Allah used to talk to her. She was the audience of the angels. Audience of the angel. That's not a small thing, you know, first of all, right? Not everybody is eligible to be in a level where angel can descend and talk to you, talk to me. That's a very big status, you know. Imam Ali enjoyed the status the Prophet has said to Imam Ali as-salam, إِنَّكَ تَسْمَعُ مَا أَسْمَى وَتَرَى مَا أَرَى إِلَّا أَنَّكَ لَسْتَ بِنَبِي وَلَكِنَّكَ وَزِيرٌ.
You listen to what I listen whenever the wahi and revelation is descending. Prophet is seeing Jibreel, right? When Prophet sees Jibreel bringing the wahi and talking to him, Prophet has said about the revelation to Imam Ali, you listen to what I listen. That means whatever Prophet is listening, the conversation, Imam Ali is also listening. It's not hidden from him. وَتَرَى مَا أَرَى, and you see what I see. That means Prophet can see Jibreel, Imam Ali can also see him. إِلَّا أَنَّكَ لَسْتَ بِنَبِي, except that you are not a prophet, but you are the wasi of the prophet, right?
So this is the status that they enjoy. This kind of husband will have a wife where the angel descends upon her qalb, angel, and talks to her and consoles her and comforts her about the huzn and sorrow she's going through.
And now the angel is telling her from the akhbar of ghaib, the news of the ghaib.
And she is dictating to Imam Ali alayhi salam. This Mus'haf of Fatima is one of the blessed items. We have a long list of blessed mutabarrik items which are with Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, right? All those blessed items, like Qamis of Prophet Yusuf, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. Actually, it was not the Qamis of Prophet Yusuf in the original history. It belonged to, the Qamis was sent to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was thrown into the hellfire. Allah sent him that shirt, and that's the shirt he was wearing at that time, and it got transferred from one generation to the other, you know, from the prophets, until it reached Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, and then to Prophet Yusuf, and he sent it back to Prophet Yaqub, his father, and it was put on the face of Prophet Yaqub, and he regained his eyesight. It's one of those blessed items. And, you know, Saif of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the sword of Imam Ali Zulfiqar, and Khatam of Sulaiman, the ring of Prophet Solomon, and so on and so forth. It's a long list. And the same was the qamis which Imam Hussein alayhi salam was wearing on the day of Ashura when he came to his sister Sayyida Zainab, Hamilatul Asrar. She was the one who was used to carry the secrets, right? So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and for those final moments at the farewell, came to Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam and said, "Yana itini bi thawbin atiq, give me that old atiq, kullu nafisin wa qadim, everything which is nafis, articulate, and qadim, old, is called atiq in Arabic. Like Kaaba, we call it Baytun Atiq in Quran, right? Allah said Baytun Atiq, in Quran.
So he said to Sayyidah Zainab, "Itini bisawbin atiq aj'alhu tahta thiyabi li'alla ujarrada ba'da qatli." Give me that old and articulate dress, that dress that came from Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam, so I can wear it under my clothes so my body doesn't get bare after me getting killed. So that's the same qameez of Prophet Yusuf, of Prophet Ibrahim, which is now with Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, with all those blessed items.
So coming back to the point, Mushaf of Fatima is part of those blessed items, and it's with Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam.
So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says in his narration that the zanadiqa, those people, zindiqs, those who have no link with Allah, those who have nothing to do with Allah, are called zindiq.
They will have their uprising in the year 128 Hijrah. And the companion, Hamad bin Uthman, asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, "How do you know about that?" And he said, "Because it's written in Mushaf of Fatima."
He says, "What's that?" He said, "Mushaf of Fatima, there was huzn, there was a sorrow that he was going through, and Allah sent the angel who used to talk to her, and she used to dictate things. It's not about halal and haram, it's about the news of the future."
So because of Mushaf of Fatima, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is able to make his preparations how to counter with the plots of the enemies and how to deal with those fitnas and mischiefs that are going to happen in the society.
And he took the best benefit to spread and nashr of Islam and spread the ma'arif and high-level teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam timely.
This is Mushaf of Fatima alayhi salam. And so she's called Al-Muhaddatha, the one who was being, the angel used to talk to her. And this shows us the fact that our sisters, our women, need to be well educated about the sciences of Islam. The hadith says, "Aksarul khair fin nisa." Most of the goodness is in the women. And our teachers, our buzurgan, our great scholars, they emphasize on this point. When we learn about the highness of Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam,
this point should also be in our minds, that this, we need to educate our sisters. We need to have scholars among the sisters. You know, in the time of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, it's narrated, "Hatta innal mar'a la taqdi fi baytiha bi kitabillahi wa sunnati rasulillah." A woman would be that much scholar, that much of a scholar, that she can do qada and judgment based on the book of Allah and the sunnat and tradition and the policies of Rasulullah. That much knowledge would be prevailing in the time of the Zuhur and the government of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. That's how we need to make the preparations, right? By taking a step practically to educate our sisters in the sciences of Quran and the ma'arif of Quran. That's what we learned from the seerat of Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam. And instead of, allowing our daughters to be raised by the state, that we don't want our daughters to be raised by the state. We don't want our daughters to be raised by the Holy Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam's value system. And the parents should do that job.
Instead of getting driven away by, the inclinations of the capitalist society and avoiding the culture of fashion and show off and shopping and all that culture. Tajammul gira'i, how we say in Farsi. This is what we are battling against. We don't want our sisters to go in that direction. When you avoid all that, this is where we can expect our daughters to have
the concept of sabr and ithar and zuhud and taqwa.
Right? That's where it would come. You can expect that to happen. So in ithar and sabr and taqwa, sacrifice and giving preference to other mu'mineen, their needs over our own needs, and simple lifestyle, where Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam is going to the house of her husband after the marriage, and she had two dresses only. One was the better one, and the other one was the one with so many stitches and, you know, old one, patches and stitches. And she finds a poor person who is begging for help, and she gives away the better dress to the poor person. Usually, anything that relates to our marriage has lots of memories with it, right? People are attached to it. Anything that belongs to the marriage, right? And she has no attachment with anything of the world of matter. Zero attachment. She gives away the better dress. Like Imam Ali alayhi salam. So much parallels in their personality, in their ruhaniyat. Imam Ali alayhi salam buys two shirts from the marketplace and asks his khadim Qambar to take the better of the two shirts. Instead of him taking the better of the two shirts, he's asking his servant to take the better one. This is called Isar. And leading a life of, you know, a simple life. And this shows the level of ma'rifat of Allah. Our actions, our amal, reveal our ma'rifat of Allah. When Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam, is... because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran, Kullu shay'in halik illa wajhah. Everything is devastated except his face. And our Urafa say that making attachment with the temporary belongings of this world is going to cause pain for you because it's bound to be destroyed. It's bound to be destroyed. You see that some people have sakaratul maut. When the soul is taken out in the final moments, we have heard so much from scholars, people are going through so much pain in the final moments. Did you think why the pain is? Did you ever think about that? Do you think the angel of death is an unprofessional guy? He doesn't know how to handle his job. That's why the pain is. He is the most professional person around. He has taken the souls of millions and millions and millions up till now, right? And then why the pain? And that's where our scholars of akhlaq say, because we human beings throughout our life have acquired attachments in this world. Love of money, love of fame, hubbul mal, hubbul jah, hubbul shahawat, love of the lusts and whims and wishes and desires. Love of dunya, love of this dunya, and so on and so forth. Love of hubbun naum, love of sleeping. Various attachments that cause the sins, right? And the angel of death has to detach each and every of those attachments so he can then be able to take the soul out. And when we have made so many attachments for 60, 70, 80 years of my life, for example, they are deep-rooted into my soul. I will feel pain when I get detached. So when I'm not attached to any of those material belongings and material inclinations, then I'm already prepared for my death. I'm ready to go to meet with Allah. Death is liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah, right? So now look at Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam. She has no attachment with the world of matter. She says in her hadith, Look at the statement of Sayyida Zahra alayhi salam. She says, شَغَلَنِي عَنْ مَسْأَلَتِهِ لَزَّةُ خِدْمَتِهِ.
Wow!
What a great statement. I love it. Although every statement is equally, you know, lovable from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. She says, the pleasure of serving Allah has engaged me away from asking Him. She's so much busy in serving Allah, servitude towards Allah, that it has engaged us away from even asking Him. And then she says, لَا حَاجَةَ لِي غَيْرَ النَّظَرْ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ الْكَرِيمِ. I don't stand in need of anything except looking at His beautiful face, as his kareem face, generous face. This is the level of Sayyida Fatima alayhi salam. Unfathomable for us. شَغَلَنِي عَنْ مَسْأَلَتِهِ. She's just busy in the service of Allah, servitude towards Allah, engaged away from even asking from Allah. One of the narrations say when Prophet Ibrahim was in the hell,
was in the up in the air, thrown to be falling in the hell, in the fire of Namrud. And one narration says that he was asked, by Jibreel, do you have a hajat? Do you have a need?
He said, yes. Amma ilayk fala. As far as having a need towards you, no. That means my need is for with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some narrations say, ilmuhu bihali yughni an su'ali.
Him knowing about my need suffices me from me asking Him. These people are so much, the awliya Allah are so much attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam is in the haram of Allah.
Al-Masjid al-Haram, where the holy Kaaba is located, the holiest mosque, right? Hisham ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, la'natullahi alayhim, was there. One of the followers, one of the Shias, said to Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam,
this is the right time, the ruler is here. Hisham is the ruler, the Tahut of that time, he's there. Good opportunity to ask him to give back the fadak to you. Some of the believers are really, they did not understand. They did not understand what Ahlul Bayt stand for.
Some of the followers are simple-minded. And Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam said to this person, وَيْحَكَ أَفِي حَرَمِ اللَّهِ أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ. Shall I, in the holy sanctuary of Allah, ask Allah anything other than Allah Himself? This is what Ahlul Bayt stand for.
This way our scholars say their ajr and their reward is not the paradise only. Their reward can be nothing but Allah Himself. But they never do anything for the sake of the rewards and the paradise or the scare of the fire, like Imam Ali alayhi salam has said. So this is their highness. This is how much they are attached to no one else other than Allah.
And now, when this is the level of ma'rifat, obviously, Fadak itself is a very, before I move forward, let me say this sentence, Fadak, which was a small piece of garden in the city of Medina, is something that huge number of our own community, unfortunately, does not understand the concept of Fadak, which is very sad to see. And Fadak was given by the Holy Prophet to Sayyida Fatima alayhi salam
to be a financial lifeline and support for the walayat and governance of Imam Ali alayhi salam, because politics and finances always go hand in hand. If you make your leadership financially crippled, forget about his leadership moving forward. Because you didn't support the leadership financially, right?
That's the way it is.
At least have that much understanding of the affairs as the Tawarit, the Tahuts had. So they took it away from Imam Ali. And you can't understand even that much understanding of Walayat? Now, actions speak louder. How many people are supporting the leadership today? Our actions reveal that we understand Fadak or not.
Isn't it right? I can make 1,000 claims about how what a nice mu'min I am. That's not going to take me nowhere.
So, you know, this is, this. You know, how many people are particular about their homes? The way we pay the homes, whom do we pay the homes to?
I asked some of the youth,
when did you start your first job after becoming Islamically mature and baligh? Some of you don't even know when they started the first job, because that date is going to be your date of khums automatically in the next year, right? They don't even remember the date when they started the first job after becoming baligh. That's the level of importance we hold for khums, right?
And this is one of the reasons why people's affairs are stuck. Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam has said in his Tawqi' al-Mubarak that La'natullahi wal-malaikati wal-nasi ajma'in ala man akala min malina dirhaman harama. La'nat and curse of Allah wal-malaikati and curse of the angels. Wal-nasi ajma'in and curse of all the humans. On the person who ate up one dirham from our money as haram. Well, 80% is yours. You give the 20% to Ahlul Bayt. Almost all the Zionist Jews, almost all of them pay a significant amount, some of them 10% every from the income, not from the savings. Our religion is asking us to pay 20% on the savings once in a year. Look at how, where do we stand? I can make claims about how much I'm muntazir about the Imam. What am I doing towards the deputy of the Imam? So, this is about Fadak. How much we understand. If we understood Fadak, our behavior in the Khums arena would have been changed.
You look at the, you get insightful behavior towards the khums, and that will help
this kind of person who has an insightful behavior in the khums actually is helping the deputy of the Imam alayhi salam. So detachment from dunya is required actually. And then Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam says that حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ, please pay attention, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ ثَلَاثٌ. She doesn't even say dunyana. She's not ready to call this world to be our world or my dunya. She's not even willing to say that.
She says from your dunya, you people's dunya. This is so lowly. Some of the ahadith said this world, you know, if this were law kanat, كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله مثل جناح بعوضة ما أعطى كافرا ولا منافقا منها شيئا. If this world, you know, equaled in the eyes of Allah, the value of this whole world equaled to the wing of a mosquito, Allah would not have given this dunya to no kafir and no munafiq, no hypocrite. Whereas we see they have more dunya, right? More than some of us. Allah has given it so much to some of them, right? Because, do you think this, Allah has honored them? This is a la'nat and curse of Allah upon some people. So, she's not even calling it to be her dunya. She says, in your dunya, three things have been made beloved to me. حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ ثَلَاثٌ.
The first thing she mentions is تِلَاوَةُ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, reciting the book of Allah.
Our youth need to have أُنْس بِالْقُرْآنِ, making our souls familiar with Quran. Prophet was sending an army for a battle to defend Islam. And he was asking, people are present in front of him, and he's asking each person, Maza ma'aka min al-Quran? How much of Quran do you have with you? That means how much noor of the Quran, understanding of Quran, its ayat, are there in your soul? Maza ma'aka min al-Quran? How much of Quran do you have in you, with you? Look at the priorities of the Prophet. Look at the criteria adopted by the Prophet. How he makes somebody a commander-in-chief. How we choose the leaders and our leaders in the communities, and how Prophet is choosing the commander of his army. How far we have gotten from the value system. He's asking each person, ماذا معكم القرآن? How much of Quran do you have with you? And everybody was replying, I know this surah, I know that surah, I know this surah. Until Prophet encountered a young boy and he said, the riwayat says, kada wa kada surah, I know this surah, I know that surah. And he also in the list mentioned Suratul Baqarah. That means I have the knowledge of the Suratul Baqarah with me. When Prophet heard that, he said, ukhruju wa hadha alaykum amir. Go out and he's your commander. So Prophet is choosing the commander of the army of the Muslim community based on the knowledge of Suratul Baqarah. Did we pay attention to that? And the hadith says, Suratul Baqarah is the surah that has Salamul Quran. If you're looking at the mountain range, you see the series of mountains. And you see, one of those mountains is reaching higher than all the rest in the range. So, the highest of the peak, the summit, if you look at the Holy Quran, the highest where the Quran reaches, the whole Quran is high. That's the highest book. But the among that range of all the verses of Quran, the highest, the climax, the peak where the Quran has reached its peak, that peak is called Ayatul Kursi.
Ayatul Kursi is Sanamul Quran. That's the peak of the entire book of Allah. But what a great... This is given to the Holy Prophet from the Min Kanzin Tahtal Arsh, from the treasure which is under the throne of Allah. Did we value the value of Ayatul Kursi? Did we understand the meaning of Ayatul Kursi? Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the wali of those who have iman.
What does Allah do when Allah becomes our wali?
Yukhrijuhum Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us out from the darknesses to the nur.
And what if we step out of the obediences of Allah and start following our own lusts and desires and start following our the taghuts and the zalimeen? Then, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا those who did the kufr, أَوْلِيَاءُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ their awliya are taghut. They don't have one master, now they have several masters.
The plural, tense of plural is used in Ayatul Kursi, أَوْلِيَاء أَوْلِيَاءُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ not waliyyuhum al-tahut. And those awliya, what they do is that, yukhrijunahum min al-nur, they take them out of the nur. These people are lost, they don't have any nuraniyat. They take them towards darknesses. This is where our job, brothers and sisters, as step number one of preserving our iman on the sunnat and tradition of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam, is to do bara'at and disassociating ourselves from the zalimeen and the tahuts.
We cannot move forward. We cannot even make a claim that I am a lover of Imam Ali alayhi salam. إِنَّ وَلَايَتَهُ لَا تُقْبَلْ إِلَّا بِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْ عَدَائِهِ. His walayat is not accepted by Allah until you disassociate from his enemies first. First things first.
So, people, what they did is that they took, the prayers and fasting. Look at Sahiha of Zurara.
Sahih of Zurara ibn A'yan, rahmatullah alayh, one of the greatest, all-time greatest companions of Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Zurara. This is narrated by Zurara that he, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, said, Buni al-Islamu ala khamsin, Islam is founded on five. Salati wa siyami wa zakati wal hajj wal walaya, on prayers and fasting and Islamic taxes and hajj and al-walaya means the government. I told you the other night, wilayat of Ahlul Bayt means the love, and al-walaya bil-fath means the government. Both are wajib towards Ahlul Bayt.
So Islam is founded on five things, Imam al-Baqir says in the Sahiha, best category of narrations.
On prayers, fasting, Islamic taxes, hajj, and governance of Ahlul Bayt. فَأَخَذَ النَّاسُ بِأَرْبَعِينَ. Look at what the people did towards Ahlul Bayt.
They took the first four. They took prayers, they took the fasting, they took the Islamic taxes, they took the hajj, وَتَرَكُوا هَذِهِ. And they left the governance, walayat of Ahlul Bayt, they left it alone.
And that's how the Tawhuts were ruling. Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas end up having their agendas prospering, because community separated religion from politics, and they considered the Ahlul Bayt to be the religious leaders only, not the political leaders. If the community considered Ahlul Bayt to be the political leaders, then Imam Ali would become the Khalifa, right?
As my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Hafizahullah was saying, the standard operation procedure of the Tawhuts, what they do, they take the walayat and imamat out first, and then they take the wali and imam out of the picture.
That's exactly what they did.
Before Saqifa, what they did, they took Imam Ali out of the picture. Before Saqifa, they took the imamat out. How? Because they said, this guy says, Hasbuna Kitabullah, Book of God is enough for us. Taking the Ahlul Bayt and their imamat and walayat concept out of the picture. So the imamat of Ahlul Bayt is taken out first. Then they can be empowered to take the wali out.
Right? That's how they operate. So we need to be very careful. We cannot allow the
agenda of Muawiyah to be successful. If we separate religion from politics, we are allowing the agenda of Banu Umayyah, who separated religion from politics for their political interests, we are allowing their agenda to be prosperous even today. Now, which side do you want to belong?
So, coming back to the point, she says, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ. Three things are made to be beloved from your dunya. First is the tilawat of Kitabullah, reciting the book of Allah. And we in hadith teaches us to read minimum 50 ayats of Quran daily. It's a matter of importance. It takes 5 minutes. And obviously, if you can understand Arabic, very good. Imam Khomeini added Arabic to be the second official language in Islamic Iran. You know, so the kids can be familiar with the values of Quran, right? The values are in Arabic. Allama At-Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi says, the value of Al-Karamah in Arabic has no translation in Farsi.
When Allama At-Tabatabai can say that, I can say the value of Al-Karamah has no translation in any language. This is why we emphasize on the values, right? It's about Islam as a package of values.
So, we need to give importance to the values which we learn from the holy book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt. So 50 ayats of Quran we didn't need to lean. If you can understand, good. If you don't understand Arabic, you can read the translation as well. So you can understand what Allah is saying. Quran has triple responsibilities in our neck. Recitation, learn to recite it correctly. Some people can't even read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim correctly with the correct pronunciation. Obviously, our prayers will be batil. It's a level of importance we hold for Quran. That's a step number one. Then we understand the meanings. And third, we practice the contents. It's not just parroting the Quran.
So she loves to recite the book of Allah. And then the second thing she says, وَنَّظَرُ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And looking at the face. This is beloved to Sayyidah Fatima. Looking at the face of Rasulullah. Just like Prophet has said about Imam Ali alayhi salam, and that's narrated by Hazrat Abu Bakr. He says, Hazrat Aisha, she says, I saw my dad staring at the face of Imam Ali. And I asked him, why are you staring at his face? And my father, Abu Bakr, said to me, didn't you hear that the Prophet has said, An-nadharu ila wajhi Aliyin ibadah? Looking at the face of Ali is ibadat. And these are our values. Imam Ali alayhi salam, again, is because he is the madhar and reflection of every single name and attribute of Allah. Why shouldn't be looking at his face an ibadat of Allah? An ibadat concept of Islam which does not allow any shirk, any associating any partner. But because Imam Ali is the madhar and reflection of every name of Allah, and every attribute of Allah, looking at him is ibadat of Allah. You look at Imam Ali, you are worshipping Allah.
We need to cherish about these leaders, right? So, an-nadharu ila, an-nadharu fi wajhi Rasulullah. The third thing that Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam loves, wal-infaqu fi sabilillah. Wal-infaqu fi sabilillah, giving away for the sake of Allah. Well, giving away for the sake of Allah is so beloved, you know. But you know, Quran teaches us the policy how we are supposed to give away. Quran says, "Lan tanalu al-birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun." You are not going to reach al-birr, the status, the level of becoming a good person in the eyes of Allah.
Quote unquote, Allah would only consider you to be a good person to the level of abrar, birr, doing the birr, if you give away from what you love.
My teacher said in tafsir, giving away our used clothes and used stuff to the poor person is not siratun mustaqim, is not the straight path.
Quran teaches us to give away from what you love. You have the charity boxes in your houses. Please go back to your homes and write on those boxes what we love. So when my kid wants to put some money in that box or something in the box, he should be reminded. See, when you're giving something, make sure that you're giving and putting in that box from the things that you love. Let's get detached from what we love and give it away for the sake of Allah. Not for what we don't love and we just dump it. You know, the old furniture, the old sofa, the old chairs, we give it to the local masjid. Because we don't like it, we don't use it, that's useless. Let's dump it into the masjid. This is not called, you know, siratul mustaqim. That's not the straight path.
She used to love infaq fi sabilillah, giving away for the sake of Allah. And she says that جعل الله طاعتنا نظاما للملة وإمامتنا أمانا من الفرقة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
has made our obedience as to make a system for the nation, for the community, and our imamat and leadership to be, you know, the imamat, following the imamat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, imamat of the 12 imams alayhim salatu wasalam, is a security from being divided. Muslims got divided. Islam didn't get divided. Islam was one, Islam is still one. Muslims got divided. There's a fine line between two things. Muslims got divided between 73 sects, right? Not Islam.
So Islam was one and Islam is one. Muslim got divided because they didn't accept the walaya, right? They took the first four. So they took the first four prayers and fasting and all that, and they dumped the walayat. And then at the end, Imam al-Baqir had said, you know, وَاللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَكْمِلُ الْأَرْبَعَ حَتَّى يَسْتَكْمِلُوهَا بِالْخَامِسَةِ. I swear to Allah, they are not going to perfect those first four things until they perfect it through the fifth one.
That means even your salat, your prayers is not going to be accepted in the eyes of Allah. Your fasting is not going to be accepted in the eyes of Allah. Your hajj is not going to be accepted in the eyes of Allah. Your zakat is not going to be accepted in the eyes of Allah until and unless you have performed your obligation towards the walayat of the wali Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam.
This is, she had called in her hadith, Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam calls the imamat of Imam Ali alayhi salam as nuqtatu da'iratil imama. Imam Ali alayhi salam is the dot, is the center of the circle of imamat. It rotates, revolves around him. He's like the central dot. What a great statement.
Masalul imam, masalul ka'ba. This is the status of walayat in Islam. In English they say all roads lead to Rome. In Islam of Ahlul Bayt we say all roads lead to the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Islam is a religion of walaya of Ahlul Bayt. That's what Islam of Ahlul Bayt is. Like it or not, that's the way it is. Islam is not left on the mercy of people liking it or disliking it. And we need to understand the way it is revealed. Islam is a religion of walaya.
So,
and this is what Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayh used to say to those people who separate religion from politics. He used to say, the religion Islam, which teaches us 32 rulings and etiquettes about using a toilet. The religion Islam, which teaches us 32 rulings and etiquettes about using a washroom, has nothing to say about the government? Does it make sense to you? When this much is also narrated in those hundreds of thousands of narrations, this is also narrated that whether Prophet used to put his right leg over the left one while sitting, or he used to put his left leg over the right one. That much is also documented. And you say, Islam has nothing to do with the government. Nothing is said about who's going to be the ruler. And when Prophet used to, we say to our Sunni brothers, how would that be acceptable, you know, that Prophet didn't announce about Imam Ali alayhi salam's walaya, when Prophet, even if the Prophet was leaving, departing the city of Medina for just 3 days, he didn't used to leave Medina alone without appointing somebody, even for 3 days. That's how we say to our Sunni brothers, right? And that's what I would like to say to my Shia brothers as well. That's what I would like to say to my Shia brothers as well. Some of those Shia brothers and sisters who think on the similar lines, separating religion from politics, that Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam is leaving for at least 1200 years have already passed by, already, right? God knows he may appear tomorrow, tonight, maybe 1000 years from now, we don't know. It's up to Allah to decide, right? So, Imam is on the sunnah of Rasulullah. When he knows he's going to be, away for that long of a duration, is he not going to appoint somebody to do the job? The job should be left vacant for the taghuts to play with our destiny. You kill 1 million people in Iraq, and I'm okay with it. I turn my blind eye to it. I grab a bead in my hand. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. I have nothing. You go ahead, kill 1 million people in Iraq. No, we care about the innocent civilians. We are followers of Imam Ali. We cannot be indifferent. You know, so much suffering in Yemen, so much suffering in Bahrain, so much suffering in Iraq and Syria and Pakistan and Nigeria and Afghanistan. The list goes on and on. Right? Which kind of Imam Ali alayhi salam some people believe in? Which kind of Sayyidah Zahra some people believe in? Sayyidah Zahra is the one when Prophet asked, Ma khairun lin nisa, what is the best thing for the women? And Ashab could not reply an appropriate response to that question. The question reaches Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam, and she's the one who gave the best response. She says, Khairun lil mar'ati an talzama qa'ra baytiha. The best for the woman is to say in the inner room of her house.
She's the one who gave the right response. Well, obviously we know it's allowed for the women to work in the workplaces by wearing the hijab, protecting their values and chastity with the permission of their husbands. We know all that. But we are talking about the best. The best will still remain what Sayyidah Zahra has said. The same Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam, who says the best for the woman is to stay in the inner room of her house, herself goes out several times. Did we pay attention to that? When does she go out? Why? What are those political and social obligations of Islam? Did we pay attention to that? She was running a campaign for the political campaign for the walayat of the wali of her time, Amir Mumin Islam, going house to house in the houses of Ansar to rally for the support of Imam Ali Islam. Did we understand that? The same Sayyidah Fatima who says, best for the woman is to stay in the innermost room of the house. So, Islam is a religion of walayat. Islam is the religion of walayat. And our claim, I love Imam Ali alayhi salam. Okay, that's a claim. That's a claim up till now. Until I prove it with my actions. Did I disassociate from his enemies? Did I become an obstacle in the way of the agenda of the Taghuts? Or I'm just praying and fasting. You do whatever, I have nothing to do with that. You know, it's the job of some people, it's the job of Imam Mahdi al-Islam. Don't bother to penetrate into his domain. He's going to take care of it. He established the government of, let's just do our side of the job. So if somebody is going to come to clean the house, and we are waiting for that somebody to clean the house, are we supposed to make the house more and more dirty? Are we helping him? Are we making his job easier? That's the way of thinking of some people. Right? Let the house be made more and more dirty. So you are helping the enemies, right? Who is making dirty, making the job of Imam Mahdi harder, right? Are you a supporter? Which side do you belong?
This is our job. Imam Ridwanullah alayh, Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayh, he said, Man azun akhundai nistam kinja benchinam tasbi tasbi giram. I'm not one of those mullahs to sit in this corner and grab a bead, grab a tasbi. That means I turned my blind eye to what's going on in Iraq and Sham and Yemen and whatever in Islamic world. The news reaches from Anbar, the city of Iraq, which was in the government of Imam Ali, and the army battalion of Muawiyah attacks and penetrates into, they violate, they aggress, they did the aggression, and they entered into the Imam Ali's government, and the city of Anbar, which is in the government of Imam Ali, attacked the people and attacked two women, one Muslim and the other one was a non-Muslim woman, and they stole jewelry from those two women. They were begging them not to take, but those criminals won't listen to the language of begging. Imam Ali gets the news in Kufa, and look at the sermon that he delivers. This is the kind of Imam Ali al-Islam we believe in. Najul Balawa. He says, فَلَوْ أَنَّ إِمْرَأً مُسْلِمًا مَاتَ مِنْ بَعْدِ هَذَا أَصَفَى مَا كَانَ بِهِ مَلُومًا بَلْ كَانَ بِهِ عِنْدِ جَدِيرًا. If a Muslim man dies by hearing that news, he deserves to die. There's no condemnation why he died. And this news deserves it. You know, a person deserves to die by listening to that sort of news. This is the kind of Imam Ali we believe in, Najul Balagha says. And he's the mizan, he's the criteria to adjust our policies. Prophet has said, Anta mizanul amal, right? So this makes it so sad. It's so understandable why Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, it's wajib on Allah to keep Imam Mahdi away from us. The Imam who has an ummat like this, waqi'an, really he should be away. What Allah is doing is the right thing, unless we become deserving. We don't deserve it. 11 of the Imams have already passed away. They have been killed, right? You talk to some people, they don't say, no, Mawlana, we are doing taqiyya. Oh, you are doing taqiyya. You are doing taqiyya, you are abusing taqiyya. Imam Sadiq al-Islam says, taqiyya tu dini wa dino abai. Taqiyya is my religion and religion of my forefathers. That means all the Imams did taqiyya. That's why they got shaheed. Taqiyya means protecting your religion. All of the Imams were protecting the religion. That's why they became shaheed. They didn't protect their lives. And you all stay back home and not do your faridah and divine duty, and you say, I'm doing taqiyya. Taqiyya means defending your religion. You are defending yourself, not the religion. If the religion is spoiled, If the religion is wasted, if the religion is harmed, and in that case you are defending your life. If the religion is not harmed, okay, defend your life. That's not the point of controversy. But when there is a harm coming in the way of the religion and you defend your life and you don't defend the religion, that's where the problem is. All the Imams did taqiyya, that means they defended Islam, not their lives. That's why they became shaheed. So taqiyya should be the reason of us performing our duties towards the walaya and towards the leadership and against the tahoots and zalimeen. Not to be an excuse to sit back. Her concepts are upside down. Because the source of information is the source of disinformation. Some of the centers allow non-qualified, half-baked vegetarian mullahs to sit, hauza dropouts, to sit over the mimbar. Source of information is the source of disinformation. What can you expect? It's going to happen. We ask for it again. You ask for it. People who are pious are gonna you know, allow a highly qualified person, graduated from the hauza, pious person to sit on the mimbar. Those who want that sort of stuff will invite those kind of people. Birds of a feather flock together. Al jinsu yamilu ila jinsihi. Huh? That's the way it works. So it's our job to understand that we stand in need of walayat. We stand in need of Imam alayhi salam. We stand in need of Allah. Imam does not stand in need of us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, nobody can harm him. He is al-kamil. He is already perfect. Muslims harmed themselves by not obeying the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Prophet has already said to Imam Ali, you know, masaluka masalul Kaaba. Your parable is that of Kaaba. Tu'ta wala ta'ti. Tuhajjo wala tahajj. That means people are obliged to come to the Kaaba. Kaaba is not obliged to come to the people. Tuhajjo wala tahajj. People are supposed to do the hajj, to come to do the hajj towards the Kaaba, come to the Kaaba to do the hajj. Kaaba is not obliged to come and do the hajj of the people. Look at the beautiful example that Prophet has given in his hadith. This is how we need to understand Nuqtatu da'iratil imama. What Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam has said, that imamat of Imam Ali alayhi salam is like the dot, the center and the circle of imamat. So this Sayyidah Zahra, with this level of ma'rifat, this level of love of Allah, in the first night of her marriage, she says to Imam Ali alayhi salam, look at the highness of Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam. In the first night of marriage, she's how much old? 9 years old. A 9 years old girl, in the first night of her marriage, says to Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, her husband, فَأُنْشِدُكَ اللَّهُ أَنْ قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَنَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَى. For the sake of Allah, I ask you to stand up and let's worship Allah in this night. That means we spend the first night in ibadat of Allah. These are our values. This is the highness of Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam. This is the highness. That's how we are supposed to, you know, we have been given this sort of leader. This kind of personality deserves to be loved. This kind of personality deserves a treatment that Allah is angry upon her anger and pleased with her pleasure. But then you find that as soon as the Prophet passes away, there are people who bring the fire at the door of Sayyidah Fatima. The fire is brought to burn the house of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam. They are actually not just waging war against Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam, they are actually waging war against Allah. These are the enemies of Allah, actually. Inni silmul liman salamakum wa harbun liman harabakum. Inni silmul liman salamahum wa harbun liman harabakum. Uhibbun liman ahabbahum mubghidun liman abghadahum. Right? Mu'adhin liman ad. So a prophet is at peace with those who make peace with them, and prophet is at war with those who make war with them. It's a policy announced already by the prophet So they are actually waging a war against Rasulullah. They are waging a war against Allah, Sayyidina Zahra alayhi salam. And then it is said that that daughter of Rasulullah is inside the house. And the guy says, "Wa in," even though she may be, who cares? Look at the level of kufr. Look at the level of animosity and bughd and nifaq, which the batin of nifaq is kufr. And the door of this personality, the door of the house where ayatul tathir is revealed, has been burnt. The door of the house in which the Quran is revealed. The door of the house where these members, Al-Khamsa At-Tayyiba, Panchtane Pak, are Al-Quranun Natiq, the talking, walking and talking Qurans are being, is being burnt. And not just that, but now the door is being shut, opened up in a way that they press Sayyidah Fatima alayhis salam between the door and the wall. Fatima to bad'atum minni. Fatima is a part of me. So this is, they are doing it to Prophet. Prophet is being crushed. This is how they have behaved. So Sayyidah Zahra had been crushed between the door and the wall. She fell down. She had the miscarriage of Hadrat Muhsin alayhi salam. Look at how much Sayyidah Zahra is patient and sabira, and how much tolerant she is. And she is tolerating all that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had she cursed those people at that time, nothing would remain. Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam is doing the sabr, and then the guy asks Qunfuz to do the slashes, to slash on the Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam, and he started to slash Sayyidah Zahra with the slash. How much pain she is going through, but she is still defending Imam Ali alayhi salam. She is not allowing, she is holding on Imam Ali alayhi salam so that they cannot take Imam Ali. Look at the highness of Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam. I would like to say to her that definitely you went through so much pain and so much suffering, and your son Hussein in Karbala, when Imam al-Hussein, you know, in the final moments, the scholars say he fell down several times on his face because he was so injured. He could not stand straight. He fell down. He was looking towards the Khiyam, the Ashqiya, the enemies should not reach the Khiyam, towards the ladies. Ya Shi'ata Ali Abi Sufyan, in lam yakun lakum deen, wa kuntum la takhafoon al ma'ad, fakunu ahraran fi dunyakum, uqatilukum wa tuqatiluni, inna nisa laysa alayhinna jana. So see, he says that, oh, the followers of Ali Abi Sufyan, if you don't have a religion, you know, and at least be free men, I'm fighting with you, you are fighting with me. Women have no fault. But see, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was so much careful that they don't attack the women in his lifetime. But as soon as Imam Hussein became a shaheed and martyr, they attacked the Khiyam and they burned the Khiyam and they started to slash Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Imam Sajjad was slashed and the bed was taken away from under him. And Sakina alayha bint al-Hussein was slapped. Sayyidah Zainab was collecting all the ladies and the children, and she found two of the kids of Ahlul Bayt died under a little bush. They were lying there, and Fatima bint al-Hussein says, Ashqi was running behind me with the spear, and he poked with the spear on my back to take my hijab off, and I fell down. She became unconscious. When she opens up her eyes, she finds her head is in the lap of Sayyidah Zainab. And she asks from her aunt, "Where is my hijab?" And she says, "Ammatuki mithluki." Your aunt is similar to me, but the Zainab also has lost the hijab.